사랑하는 성도 여러분,
Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online. In Genesis chapter 3:22, God Father made the decision to send Adam out from the Garden of Eden. It was because Adam became a man of flesh by committing sin. He couldn't live an eternal life. He had to leave the Garden of Eden and go to the fleshly world and live there. As God the Father came to this conclusion, He discussed it with God the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, Genesis chapter 3:23 says, Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. What is the ground from which he was taken? In a fleshly sense, it refers to the ground of this earth. When God the Father created Adam, He used the ground of the earth as the basic material. After Adam committed sin, He came down to this earth, cultivated the fields of the earth, grew plants, and ate them. He could eat bread in toil and by his sweat. He lived a life of cultivating the ground from which he was taken. At the same time, in spiritual sense, he also had to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. It was a work of the cultivating his heart. When farmers cultivate the waste land and convert it into a good field, what do? First off, they must remove the scrub of growth and the weeds. Then they pull out the stones, both big and small, and they have to deeply plow the ground. The same applies to your spiritual cultivation. You first have to remove the thorns and the thistles that are planted in your heart field and get rid of the hard stones. To pull out the evil nature that has deeply rooted in your heart, you should basically plow up your heart as well. I preached a sermon titled, Let's Cultivate the Field of the Heart, Comparing the Human Heart to the Field. Please refer to that sermon. When Adam was the Garden of Eden, only goodness and the truth were planted in his heart. They were planted by God the Father. From the moment he ate from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, however, both the untruth and the evil began to be planted. Adam's heart was filled with only truth, but after eating the fruits, falsehood and the evil began to take root in his heart. When Adam obeyed Satan's voice in his free will, the attributes of darkness were planted in his heart. The mind of a spirit is in pure state without even 0.1% of the attributes of the flesh. When you go to the spirits, your mind becomes pure and your thoughts follow only goodness because you only think of spiritual thoughts. The moment fleshly attributes are mixed in the spiritual heart, even a little, it cannot be called the spirits any longer. It is already a fleshly being. It was the same with Adam, who was a living being. From the moment he ate the fruit that Eve had given to him, he became a fleshly being. His spirit died, and his soul became the master. After he became a man of the flesh like this, he came down to this earth, and he had to cultivate the ground he was taken from. He had to do the work of the casting of the untruth and the evil from his heart. He had to recover the state of a spirit. Without this work, he would have had to remain in the state of being a dead spirit. The ground that is not cultivated has no use. It's the same with a hard field. Regarding this, Hebrews chapter 6, 7 to 8 says, "For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those who for whose sake it is also tilled, receive a blessing from God. But if it yields a thorn and thistles, it's worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned." When God the Father sent Adam out of this earth, He told them to cultivate the ground from which he had been taken. This applied not only to Adam, but also to Eve and every descendant that Adam and Eve gave birth to on earth. Actually, this cultivation was a precious procedure. There's a great difference between the mind of the living being and the mind cultivated on this earth. The hearts of the living being in the Garden of Eden are different from the hearts of those who cultivated their hearts on this earth as go to the spirit. For example, let's say that there's a two men, however, one of them is born good. One didn't see or hear any evil. He doesn't know about evil, and so he is good. On the other hand, the other knows well about the evil of the world, but he's kept his heart well. In other words, he casts off every form of evil from his heart to possess a good heart. The good man who doesn't know about evil is quite different from the one who knows about evil but is of a goodness. Which one can understand God's Father's heart deeper? The first one or second? It's the latter, one who knows about evil, but is still a man of goodness. God the Father wanted Adam to know and have a deeper understanding about heart of God the Father. Only then can a man mutually share the even deeper and the more intimate love with God. 1 John chapter 2, 14 talks about the faith of a father who knows him who has been from the beginning. God the Father has wished and hoped that among the descendants of Adam and Eve, true children would come forth who would know the deep love of God the Father and share it together with him. With this hope, he sent out Adam to this earth. Of course, there was such a great and a deep intention of God that He placed the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Dear brothers and sisters, Genesis chapter 23 says, "The Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden." You should pay attention to the expression, "send him out." But then Genesis chapter 3:24, "he drove the men out." Why are expressions regarding the incident of Adam's coming down to the earth so different like this? It's because the Savasagabaichi expression's perspective is different. First off, the experience, "send him out," was from God the Father's perspective. When God the Father sent Adam to the earth, he was heartbroken. He didn't treat Adam coldly or with a disregard because he committed sin. And so when he sent Adam out, he showed him the consideration of a love till the end. He allowed Adam to use his own UFO that he used to ride on. He also let Adam be with the cherubim that formerly escorted Adam all the time till the last moment. God treated Adam, who used to be the head of the first and the second heavens, with the greatest respect. It shows that God the Father didn't send Adam out to punish him for the sin committed. It was a necessary procedure. It was for human cultivation. In his acting hurt, God the Father sent Adam out to this earth. He made the garments of a skin and clothed Adam and Eve, didn't he? God the Father showed his consideration of love to Adam and Eve so that they could always remember that he didn't forsake them. God lovingly cared for Adam and Eve so that they would always remember that he had not abandoned them. In the past, it was correct that dinosaurs were driven out of the Garden of Eden to the earth. God the Father wrapped the dinosaurs in something like net and drove them out to this earth all at once. They were banned from Eden. Then why does Genesis chapter 3:24, so he drove the man out? This expression described Adam's situation objectively. Adam fell down from the living being to a man of flesh. He lost the power and authority to rule over the first and second heaven. He couldn't use the UFO any longer, and nobody would be escorting him any longer. The food was plentiful in the Garden of Eden, but on the earth, Adam had to toil and sweat to eat food. The living environment and the lifestyle of this land were very different from those in Eden. Adam's status fell significantly and his living conditions became very difficult. It was like a king of a country becoming an ordinary man overnight. Based on these conditions, we can understand the world driven out. However, God the Father foreknew all these situations that Adam would go through. Despite all this, God sent Adam to the earth. And this fact shows God the Father's deep love for Adam and his providence about human cultivation. Dear brothers and sisters, after Adam came down to this earth, he spent countless days in tears thinking about many things. Adam missed the Garden of Eden. At the same, he felt to his bones how foolish he was. He also recalled the betrayal of the dinosaurs. He realized that he was as foolish as those dinosaurs, and he didn't spend a day without repenting. Let me tell you about the confession that contains Adam's hurt in those days. I'm too far away. When I was in the second heaven, this first heaven was so close to the second, and the second heaven so close to the first. Now that I'm here in this condition, however, I look to where the second heaven is and find that it's too so far. I cannot reach it, I cannot go there, and I cannot even see it. How far away must the second heaven feel now that he couldn't go there even if he wanted to? UFOs are so fast that Adam from Eden came to Earth in incident. That's why even now, Earth scientists can't track the UFOs. They don't know where UFOs are going. Moreover, UFOs fly in all directions. On Earth, airplanes must first fly in straight line and then slowly turn to change direction. It takes longer time to turn around to different direction. However, UFOs are extremely fast and can change directly freely. Adam used to visit Earth freely by riding a UFO like that, but now he can't return to Eden and there are no escorts. My foolishness cast the shadows over the heart of God the Father. How foolish I was. How foolish I was. There's nothing here. I get only from what I do all by myself. The love of God the Father and the power that I enjoyed in the second heaven are all gone. I stand on the earth as low and humble as I am. How foolish it is. How foolish. How many days do I have to live here and how many days must I count? I look into myself and I'm so miserable, so miserable. I came down to this first heaven when I lived in the second heaven, but it's completely different from then. As I'm now here, it's not the same earth I saw then, not the same surroundings or animals I saw then. I fear so much in my heart, but I'm destined to do this because I committed sin, and I have to do my best to live here. Now, the animals of the earth are cursed, and no longer animals they once were, because Adam, the Lord of all creations, was cursed. In the entire first heaven was cursed. How long should I live this life given to my by my Father, organizing my heart and the longing for heaven? Adam felt lost and hopeless. Everything felt so overwhelming and uncertain. I will number the days until the end of my days. I will watch over and over again over all that I've done. I must live each day with a truly atonement heart, feeling extremely ashamed and sorry for what has happened to this land because of me. Those of you who have committed sin that led to death or have been forgiven, you must always live with the heart of the atonement. Don't think enough is enough. You live with the heart of the atonement before the Father. Humbled and lowered. Everything I see now is so silent and infinitely silent. Heaven seems within reach, yet it is not. It is so far away, so far away. It's so sad. But I should be thankful that we've been given new life by our Father. I'm afraid and nervous about my new life, but I have no choice but to live the life I've been given. One day, at the end of my life, I will meet my Father. I will see Him again. Surely, I will watch and be awakened and live until these days are over. Dear brothers and sisters, the glory and dignity that Adams enjoyed in the second heaven were so tremendous. Such Adam came down to this earth that is completely different from the past. It was never easy to manage all things all by himself, only with his own effort. Suppose how desolate it would be if you were left on a deserted island. Adam's situation back then was similar to this. He had to start all over again from nothing. He was in such a desolate situation. It took quite a time for him to escape from the shock. He repented and regretted what he did for many long years. He thought to himself, why did I do that then? I shouldn't have been deceived by the temptation. If there are among you who always keep this question in mind, such as why was I deceived in the past? Why? Why did I fall for Satan's deception? Why did I sin and disappoint God? And live your lives praying with the tears, you will be blessed. That's how life should be, but as time goes by, you don't feel grateful and instead try to go back to the sin of a past and get better. We should always be thankful to God as we recall our past mistakes, saying, Father, thank you. I thank you for giving me life and saving me, even though I was doomed to die, even though I could never live. Even though he's sorry, it was no use crying over spilled milk. He recalled the love of God the Father who gave him another chance, and he consoled himself. He was thankful for giving new life, and he made the resolutions to himself. He repented his deed that hurt God's heart, and he decided to live a new life as a staying alert against his deed. Dear brothers and sisters, I explained how God the Father sent Adam from the Garden of Eden out to the earth and why he did it in Genesis chapter 3:23. Genesis chapter 3:24 explained what God did after that. It says, so he drove the man out, and at east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. I hope that you will understand many spiritual meanings explained here. Who has been guarding the way of the tree of life all this time? Who did it? Adam. This means that Adam was given such authority and the power to govern, to subdue, and to guard the tree of life. Why was he given such authority? Why should the place be protected? You know it, right? Now God placed a flaming sword that turned every way and the cherubim to keep there. So Adam guarded it, but since there was no one left to guard it, after Adam was driven out, God immediately appointed the cherubim and the flaming sword that turned every way to take the place. Cherubim are spiritual beings commanded by God. Unlike angels who have a human form, cherubim are primarily animal-shaped. We've already discussed this cherubim in detail in Genesis chapter 15, 16, and 17. Next, what about the flaming sword? The flaming sword is literally a sword made of a fire. A sword made of a fire. When seen with a spiritual eyes, it looks like a pinwheel. On the outside, it is surrounded by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and inside the sword is rapidly spinning. The sound of a burning flame of the Holy Spirit and that of the spinning sword are mixed together to make a very dignifying sound. Evil spirits tremble in fear even at this sound. This flaming sword has the power of the Holy Spirit. When the evil spirits touch this sword, they lose their strength instantly. Evil spirits don't die. They are immortal. However, if they lose their powers, they become miserable. The flaming sword moves as if it were alive and watches all the movies of the evil spirits. So it can block any attempt to approach the tree of life by the evil spirits. Dear brothers and sisters, why did God the Father make them guard the way to the tree of life so strictly? It's because the domain of the evil spirits touches the east side of the Garden of Eden. In Korea, North and South Korea are locked in a standoff. So where should we defend? Namdaemun, Dongdaemun, we just need to defend the 38th parallel. The navies should work together to defend the 38th parallel and the surrounding coastline. Similarly, Eden must also defend its eastern border. The evil spirits were on the alert for the opportunity to invade the Garden of Eden. First, it was to tempt Adam to make him fall down. There was another reason besides this. It was to get the fruit from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Lucifer, the head of evil spirits, knows very well what kind of a power the fruits of a tree of life has. That one can gain an eternal life by eating from the tree of life. Lucifer and the evil spirits had a plan that they could stand against God forever if they could live an eternal life. And thus they had an eye on the Garden of Eden for long years. They've been waiting for a long time for an opportunity. Over time, the enemy devil and Satan succeeded in deceiving Adam. The original plan of the Satan was to deceive Adam and get the fruit of the tree of life through him. You hear it first, right? God the Father, however, knew more than enough about the Satan's plan. God the Father took the immediately measured right after Adam's committed sin. First, he sent Adam out to this earth. At the same time, he drove all the serpents in the Garden of Eden out to this earth. He didn't leave any room for Satan to take a step into the Garden of Eden. In addition to these measures, God set the beings that have such a dignity and authority to guard the way to the tree of life. He sent all the serpents that had tempted Eve down to the earth and dealt with Adam without delay, swiftly. But why? Adam, too, should not eat this living fruit. To the soul would mean not death, but eternal life. So God took these measures and protected them with a cherubim and a flaming sword. By taking such a swift action, God completely blocked the evil spirits' access to the Garden of Eden. Thus, they were no longer able to overtake it. Their long plan had failed. No matter how much Satan sends his dark signals towards the Garden of Eden, there's no one worthy of receiving them. Snakes, dinosaurs, Adam, and Eve were all cast out of the earth. They now had nothing to tempt. The evil spirits had to give up the fruit of the tree of life. In fact, Satan could not have imagined that Adam, who had sinned, would be driven out of the Garden of Eden so quickly like that. But God, through the Lord and the Son of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, took this action quickly. Satan actually thought he would remain in Eden after Adam sinned. And then as the time passed, he tried to carry out another plan, but all such possibilities were lost. there was no hope for the future in Eden to them. Lucifer and the evil spirits are furious and now turn their target to this earth. They have been attacking to obtain the fruit of life, but when their effort for many years had also failed, they now turned their target to this earth. Instead of taking the fruit of the tree of life, they tried to build a world of darkness on this land where humans were farming. By doing this, they tried to stand against God and interfere with the kingdom of God. They wanted to incite people to build idols and to worship them. They will try to the very last soul to keep any from believing in God. They were confused that if they stained this world by evil, they could stand against God. Besides, the enemy devil and Satan also knew that Messiah would come to bruise them on their head. And so whenever a man of God appeared, they tried to persecute him and kill him. Eventually, they incited the evil people to crucify that Jesus, who came down as a Messiah, and killed them. At the time, the powerful king and the high priest, incited by Satan, tried to kill the Lord and eventually crucified him. They wanted to show God how evil human beings are to hurt God's heart. At the same time, they tried to show off how great the world they built. However, this evil plot of the enemy devil and Satan couldn't work before God. God prepared a secret plan for this before the ages. According to the plan, Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected. Through this, the way to salvation opened to whole mankind. In addition, God sent the Holy Spirit. He let the dying souls of sinners revive and opened the way for them to live new lives. Regarding this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. This means that all of Adam's descendants will face death. Because they inherited Adam's bloodline, they are born with original sin and they committed the personal sins. Therefore, as in Adam, all people die. But in Christ all will be made alive because of this precious blood of the Lord who was abandoned before God on the cross and offered up as a sacrifice for us to give us eternal life. If we become one with Christ Jesus through faith, all people will find life in Him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15:45 says, so also it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Became a living soul. And we too are becoming living souls. It means that we who were destined for death are now made alive. Finally, the enemy devil and Satan couldn't but kneel down before the wisdom of God. But the enemy devil and Satan haven't given up and will not till the end. During the process of a human cultivation, they can exercise the authority of the darkness. With this authority, they try to drag just one more soul to hell. This is the power God granted to the forces of the darkness, given sin. Since Genesis, he commanded them to live forever by eating dust. Here, the dust refers to the sinful, fleshly people. They suffer from various diseases, have accidents, and live difficult lives. This is a given power to darkness force. That's why, as a human cultivation comes close to the end, this world may seem under the control of the enemy devil and the Satan, and the evil and the sins seem to prevail. Isaiah chapter 62 says, "For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and the deep darkness the peoples." How many places in this world aren't entirely dark? Aren't most places covered in dark? As it's written, "Behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people." Will God just let it go and finish His human cultivation like that? No, He will not. Continuing Isaiah chapter 60:2-4, "But the Lord will rise up on you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms." God has prepared a time when this world will be fulfilled. Habakkuk chapter 2:14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This word written in the Bible will soon come true. It will appear before your eyes and come true. It's not something that ends with what's written in the Bible. It will happen in the end times, just as it's written. By the word of God, the amazing power, it will be proclaimed all over the world that God is alive and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. The day when the door of the salvation opens wide for countless souls will come. For this, the plans of God the Father are being accomplished without the slightest error. I'm finishing lectures on Genesis chapter 3 here. In Genesis chapter 3, you saw Adam and Eve were deceived at the temptation of Satan, and they received the wage of sin. This process doesn't apply only to Adam and Eve. Most of Adam and Eve's descendants on this earth took the same track. And so the whole of the mankind became sinner. However, through the ministry of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, countless children of God have come forth. True children of God who resemble the heart of the Lord also came out. The true children of God prove that God the Father won the victory in human cultivation. May many of you become such a true children of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.